man of the Supreme Godhead, we must agree to be directed by him, just as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes. Under any circumstances, if we remain in the condition allotted to us by the Supreme Lord and follow his instructions, we will become perfect. The main purpose of life is to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is such instructions that constitute one's religion or occupational duty. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharmam prityaja mamekam saranam braja. Give up all other engagements, simply surrender unto me, and follow me. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 66. This process of surrendering by following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not meant for any particular caste or creed. A Brahmana can surrender, and so can a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Everyone can adopt this process. As stated in this verse, Chakshush Matanda Eva Niyamanaha. One should follow the Lord the way a blind man follows a person who has eyes. If we follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following the directions he gives in the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita, our lives will be successful. The Lord therefore says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mam evaisyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, and offer respect and obeisances unto me. Then you will certainly come back home, back to Godhead. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 65. This instruction is meant for everyone, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. If anyone from any division of life surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and follows his instructions, his life will be successful. The previous verse has given the analogy of bulls moving around the direction of the driver of a bullock cart. The bulls, being completely surrendered to the driver, remain wherever he wants to place them and eat whatever he wants them to eat. Similarly, being completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not aspire for happiness or regret distress. We must be satisfied with the position allotted to us by the Lord. We should follow the path of devotional service and not be dissatisfied with the happiness and distress he has given. People in the material modes of passion and ignorance generally cannot understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its 8,400,000 forms of life. But the human form affords one the special privilege to understand this plan, engage in devotional service, and elevate oneself to the highest position of perfection by following the Lord's instructions. The entire world is working under the influence of the modes of material nature, especially ignorance and passion. But if people engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, their lives can be successful, and they can be elevated to the highest perfection. In the Brihan Naradiya Puranan, therefore, it is said, Hareer nama, Hareer nama, Hareer nama eva kevalam, Koloa nesteva, 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 gatir anyata. In the sage of Kali, There's no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual perfection than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Everyone should be given the chance to hear the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for thus one will gradually come to understand his real position in life and be elevated to the transcendental position above the mode of goodness. Thus, all impediments to his progress will be cut to pieces. In conclusion, therefore, we must be satisfied in whatever position we have been put into by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should try to engage ourselves in his devotional service. Then our lives will be successful. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmiditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, we see that Lord Brahma has come from Brahmaloka to give instruction to Priyabrat. He wants him to specifically do something. And he knows at the same time that what he wants him to do, Priyabrat doesn't want to do it. Right? So this is kind of a management problem in one sense, right? The managers of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, temple presidents, etc., etc., they're always in a similar situation. So, Lord Brahma is giving the And we see that actually managers follow this technique of Lord Brahma in getting devotees to, you know, perform devotional service, even though they may not have the same intention of Priyabrat Maharaj, but similar arguments could be given. And here we see that Lord Brahma is talking about higher authority. We have the higher authority. Right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has put everyone in a particular situation. Right? Every living entity has a particular body that's given by the Supreme Lord through the agency of the material energy. Right? And along with that particular body that we've been given, there is the subsequent happiness and distress that comes along with that body. So we can't avoid that, right? And what we see is that the conditioned souls, the persons who are under the stringent laws of material nature, They feel that by their endeavor, they can increase their happiness and minimize their distress. Right? The idea is that if I work in a certain way, perform fruitive activities, I'll get some result from that work. And with that result, with those fruits, I'll be able to minimize my distress and increase my happiness. 99.9% of the population, they think like that. But is that actually the fact? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, no. That's not the fact. What we have done in our previous life, right? Those activities that we perform that were pious activities, for that, in this life, we'll experience some happiness. For those activities in our previous life that we perform some sinful activity, for that we will experience distress. And that's already fixed. Not by our endeavor can we change that. Right? But people don't have this idea. They have this false concept that by my endeavor, by my intelligence, by my good looks, by my expert abilities, by my opulences, I will be able to minimize my distress and increase my happiness unlimitedly. But actually we see, we can take information from Prahlad Maharaj, who says that, he gives the example that just as no one goes to look for unhappiness, nobody goes out to try to get cancer. You see them selling a bottle of cancer in the shop anywhere? No. But yet it comes. Distress. Nobody wants unhappiness, but unhappiness comes. Moment to moment. Somebody says something, somebody does something, and I become an anxiety. Well, he said this, he did that, and I'm completely disturbed. How can he say like that? I say, kaise bol sakte hai? So then I'm, mental condition becomes totally imbalanced. So we don't want these things, all these disturbances, but they come unsought. So Prahlad Maharaj says, in the same way, just as unhappiness comes unsought, so will our happiness. Because it's fixed. It's already established, along with the body that we've gotten, how much happiness and how much distress. So Prahlad Maharaj says that instead of wasting one's time trying to increase our happiness, which is already predestined, and trying to minimize our distress, which is already fixed up, rather, we should spend our time in a different way. So, there's this concept about Varnashram Dharma amongst some persons that, if you're taking birth as a Shudra and you perform your duty very nicely, then your next life you can take birth as a Vaishya. And if you perform your duty very nicely as a Vaishya, then you can take your birth as a Kshatriya. And then a Brahmin. And then from there, Moksha. Right? So, things may work like that, but they don't necessarily have to work like that. Here Srila Prabhupada explains that if one follows the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whatever condition one may be in, right, you can reach perfection. Right? So following the instructions is important. And Lord Brahma gives a nice example. He says that just like a blind man, right? He follows a man who has eyes. We've all seen that. A blind man, he's walking. If you're blind, you don't know what's coming. There could be a ledge. There could be a hole. And if you step in a hole, you fall down and break something, it's very precarious position the blind man is in. So the blind man allows himself to be led by someone who has eyes. We take it for granted because our eyes work. Right? But just close your eyes from the ashram or from wherever you come and walk to the temple. You won't be able to go more than a few feet. And you'll be forced to open your eyes because you won't know where you're going. You'll feel uncertain. Right? Uncertain. We had the devotee Dhritarashtra. He was blind. And he used to also, in the very beginning, have a devotee lead him to come to the temple. But he was so expert, after a while, even though he didn't have eyes, he couldn't see, but he knew where everything was, where all the steps were, and he didn't need a stick or anything. I used to watch him. He had learned the pattern pretty good. So here the Bhagavatam explains that we need to be, you know, led around by the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what are those instructions? They're in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken specifically by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for our benefit, because we're all blind in this material world. We're all in that precarious position. And the more we feel that I am intelligent, the more we feel that I am capable, the more we feel that I'm advanced, right? The more we're in a precarious position. Rather, we should feel incapable, not advanced. We should feel dependent on the personality of Godhead to lead us in the right direction. Now, the Lord is very kind. Right? He comes with us in the form of the Paramatma, but he also comes in the form of the spiritual master, right? Who is the external manifestation of the Supreme Lord, again, for guiding the blind conditioned souls. What does the Lord say? You take instruction from the Tattva Darshana, right? One who has seen the truth. Because he can guide you. So although we're in this very precarious position, we're in this body of senses that are pulling us this way and that way, we're trying to find enjoyment, we're overwhelmed by the impressions that are there in our minds, and our intelligence is polluted by so many false conceptions, and the false ego, again, has so many contaminated notions. Right? So we're in a very precarious position, just like the blind man. If, however, we take help, just like a blind man takes help of someone who has eyes, if we take help of the instructions of the personality of Godhead, of the Lord's devotees, then we can be safe. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, for a child to cross a street is very dangerous. The child. In very precarious position. But if the child takes hold of the father's hand, then the child can very confidently cross the street. Okay? So this is what's being recommended in this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, that we recognize, first of all, our own precarious position. First of all, we have to understand that we are in a precarious position. We're not so qualified. We're not so capable. We're not all as intelligent as we think. Right? If we were that intelligent, if we were that capable, right? If we had so many abilities, then tell me, how did we get here in the material world in the first place? The fact that we're here inside a material body means, to use a kind of slang term, we blew it. I knew Maharaj would get that one. Right? We blew it. Means that we failed. Right? We didn't complete the test, just like if you go to IIT or any college, you work really hard, you study, right? But then, if you fail the examination, what have you got? Zero, right? Goose eggs. Nothing. That's our condition. We failed in our last lives to complete. Right? So in this life, and someone who's failed the exam, who's worked really hard, they want another chance. They want to, and many times they let them take the exam again, isn't it? You get another chance to get enough marks to pass, right? So that's our situation also. We've been given another chance, one more opportunity in this human form of life to become perfect, to actually pass the examination. And what is that examination? How do you pass the examination? Well, the examination is at the time of death, that one will be able to, with feeling and emotion and surrender and dependency, to be able to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So this is really the goal. To go back home, back to Godhead. Everything else, just like when Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were discussing, he suggested Varnashram as being the goal, and Mahaprabhu rejected it as external. It wasn't until he came to hearing about the personality of Godhead. But this is the really important, the processes of devotional service, chanting of the holy name. This can put us in a situation where we are safe. Dependency on the Lord's holy name can put us in a very safe position. And the Lord's holy name, everything is there within the Lord's holy name. Right? It can clear away all the misconceptions that we have. Help us understand what our real identity is. Cheto dharpana marjanam. What's our real identity? The eternal servant of Krishna. That's all. Nothing else. I'm not any other designation. Any other designation is simply going to come and go. Whatever it is. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So the holy name fixes us in our identity as eternal servants of Krishna. And this material world, which is simply, happiness and distress, victory and defeat, by the holy name, all of that becomes pushed aside. One becomes indifferent to it. One even remembers to turn off his cell phone by the holy name. Right? So, the not only that, not only does it give us, the holy name can give us our, help us to be fixed in our real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. It keeps us away from the material energy, this happiness and distress, victory, defeat, fame, infamy, honor, dishonor, all the dualities in the material world. It helps us become free from all of that. But it fixes us in knowledge, right? By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is directly associating with Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So by chanting attentively the holy name of Krishna, all transcendental knowledge is available to that devotee. So it doesn't matter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, whether one is Sudra or Vaishya, Kshatriya. We're none of these things, actually. It's just some designation. We may be in a particular situation by the arrangement of the Lord or our previous activities, but we should accept that, whatever it is. and be determined to elevate ourselves by chanting. There's no other way. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Hulo Anasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. So, Prabhupada Maharaj is being encouraged by Lord Brahma to accept this responsibility, and you'll always be protected, right? Just like devotees are going out on Sankirtan, they're meeting so many non-devotees, right? And they have so many materialistic ideas and habits. But because the devotees are going out on the instruction of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee, therefore they're protected, right? They don't take on the sangha. The word here used in the verse is sangat. They don't take on materialistic sangat, but they give transcendental sangha. Right? And you don't, in a very kind of simple way, we give our association. We try to chant the holy name nicely and then give whatever realization we have to others. We ask him to chant the holy name and be happy. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Anyone can preach, right? Srila Prabhupada used to talk about Shyam Sundar's daughter, Sarasvati, how she would tell the karmis, do you know who God is? It's Krishna. So even a four-year-old little girl is preaching Krishna consciousness. Right? Prabhupada said, I did not know what would be the result, but I knew that my Guru Maharaj was very fond of books. Right? But I was following his instruction blindly. Again, just like the verse, just like a blind man being led around. So in his relationship, he saw that, right? His Guru Maharaj was fond of books. He gave him, if you ever get money, print books. What that result would be, he did not know. But he tried to follow that result. When he got on the boat, when he got off the boat, he didn't know whether he was going to go left or to right. Can you imagine? You know, nowadays, even if we go somewhere in India, is somebody going to pick me up at the airport? And, you know, do I have a room in the temple? And all kinds of facilities. We want it fixed. But here, Srila Prabhupada, going to a foreign country, didn't know anyone, right? English wasn't their first language, it was his second language. First language was Bengali, right? And it wasn't even his second language. Second language was Hindi, because he lived in Allahabad, right? Third language was English, right? But he had one strong leader who he had faith in, had the eyes to show me which way to go. And he, one time there was some criticism. Srila Prabhupada came from Calcutta and came to Mayapur and drove past the Samadhi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he didn't, his godbrothers were criticizing, he didn't stop and take darshan of the samadhi and then go. So that criticism came to him. You should know, if you ever criticize anybody, whoever you're criticizing, that will come to them. Without a doubt. So be careful. But that criticism came to him, and Srila Prabhupada thought for a moment. He said, well, I really felt that the samadhi for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur should be more. I wasn't satisfied with that. And then tears started to come from his eyes. And he said that my Guru Maharaj is always with me. My Guru Maharaj is always guiding me. That they do not know. So we shouldn't be, we should follow Srila Prabhupada's good example, that he was so determined to follow the instructions of a spiritual master, and that's what's required. Right? It's not about our expertise. I'm a good speaker. That won't work. It won't work. It may go on for some time. You may even get a lot of followers. Right? But what is the value of that? You know, Ramesh Oja and Murari Vapu, and they all have so many followers. Right? They're good speakers. But are they actually able to make a change in the hearts of the audience? Right? And that requires someone who is guided by the Mahajans, by the Parampara. That's the important formula, or secret to the formula, secret for success. So we should always be guided by the previous acharyas and follow their instructions. They are meant for our benefit. We should be convinced about that. And we will be able to make advancement in devotional service, and we'll be able to help others make advancement in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So, is there time for questions? Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, in Bhagavatam we have read this one. Our previous karmas, we get happiness and distress. So when we are getting happiness and distress, we only know we are getting happiness and distress. But other people, they don't know why he is getting distress and happiness.
Well, sometimes they know. You see somebody who's really in distress, it shows on their face. What's wrong, Prabhu? You look really upset. Right? So it's not that others don't know. They may not know why you're upset. They may not know the exact intensity of your upsetness. But the face is the index of the mind. It shows. And if someone's blissful, someone's chanting the holy name and tasting the nectar of the holy name, that shows also. Devotees in ecstasy, they're happy. If someone's morose, Maya's attacking them. If they're in anxiety about what somebody said or somebody did, that's all Maya's attack to take us away from the real thing, which is the holy name. She's expert. She does her work so expertly. We can never, you know, underestimate the power of Maya.
And this purports to the Prabhupada is making it clear one should accept one's lot in life, not try to fix it, so to speak. Of course, for the non-devotee, the situation is different than a devotee. For the non-devotee, it's very stringent or tight according to the laws of material nature, and the laws of karma are very tight. Now, after we take up Krishna consciousness, then initiation from bona fide spiritual master, chanting the holy name so many times, then devotee is in a different category than non-devotee as far as reactions are concerned. Then there are other complexities. So I'm asking you this as a question, although this is to build up to my question, because it's not an easy question, quite frankly. On the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami says one should tolerate, the devotees specifically, should tolerate whatever reactions are coming from the past and go on just tolerating those reactions while prosecuting devotional service. Now, as far as reaction goes, sinful reaction is concerned, but there's so many things that counteract sinful activities when we follow Acharya, when we try at least to follow Acharya, there's so many things that counteract sinful reaction. Even just when we're circumnavigating Tulsi Devi, Yani Kani Chapapani Brahma Hatya Digini Cha. Even if one kills a Brahmin, that is supposed to be wiped out. That's very severe. And I don't think there's anybody sitting here that has killed a Brahmin. But still, Shastra says...
They say that people that kill Brahmins, they live in deserts, so there might be a lot
deserts,
of...
Deserts, yes, deserts. Very
Saudi Arabia or something.
Yes, sinful reaction. But see, what I'm driving at the question, the point is that one takes devotional service and one may go to many different places, holy places, even to Vrindavan Dham, to so many sacred ghats there, and Darshan, Govardhan Hill, then in Mayapur Dham also, then, you know, other so many holy ghats throughout India, Bharatvarsh, Jagannath Puri alone. There are ghats that free you from offenses even, what to speak of sinful reaction. Yet, one can go on suffering what appear to be sinful reaction. So, this is a question for you, actually, you know, because it's not an easy question. So, I know it seems like we used to nickname it Krishna karma. Krishna karma, I mean, it appears to be karma, but is dished out by Krishna for Prabhupada said also purification by the fire of ordeal. It's not exactly karma, but it resembles karma. So what I want you to do is to please comment on this, because it's a tough question, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. How somebody can go to so many places of pilgrimage, do so many ghats and all that, and still get what appears to be severe sinful reaction. In other words, all the karma, all the sinful reaction coming from past life is supposed to be wiped out, because that's what this shastra says about these places. Or even by chanting holy name, or even by diksha initiation, etc. Yet sometimes the reactions seem to be quite severe, like our godbrother Radhanath Das, for example. You know, that was, you know, I had to spend some intimate time with him. It appeared that he was suffering some extreme sinful reaction. Yet, also on the other hand, how could it be? Look how he was so dedicated in book distribution beyond imagination. I just take the dust from his feet and put it in my head, because I could not do what he did. You know,
well,
from
at
a
the
wheelchair.
End, he didn't even have feet.
From a wheelchair.
He got his legs cut off because...
Yes, amputation. Because of disease. I mean, and from a wheelchair doing book distribution, incredible book distribution, very good book distribution. So if you understand my question, then... So how do we harmonize this? Because it's not simplistic. Not simplistic.
Sure.
It appears that after we take up devotional service and go through all these processes of purification, that still we suffer what appears to be sinful reaction, but then again it can't exactly be.
So a devotee sees both things.
Yes.
He sees, like it's explained in the Nectar Devotion, that Krishna is so kind. By the results of my past sinful activities, I meant to suffer even more. But he's minimized it so much due to devotional service. The Lord has minimized my suffering. So that's one way the devotee sees. Another way he sees that he's not considering it as a reaction for past sinful activities. Like you said, it's all wiped out. But Krishna's putting me in a situation, testing my determination, helping me to come to the next stage of dependence on him. If everything's floating along nicely, our tendency is not to depend on Krishna. But if Krishna puts the
crunch,
right, if he tightens the screws, so to speak, on us, then our dependence on him gets tested. So a devotee sees things in both lights. It's not that he thinks, "Oh, I'm free from sinful activity. How did Krishna do this? Why is he doing this to me?" A devotee doesn't see like that. Devotee says, "I've been so sinful in my last life. I deserve much more than this. But my Lord, he's so kind to me, he's made it less." And he's grateful. He's happy about his particular situation because he sees it in relationship to Krishna. And on the other side, he'll see that Krishna is putting me in this situation just for my advancement at the shelter of his lotus feet. Look at Draupadi. She was in such a terrible situation. Her husbands couldn't help her. They were trying to disrobe her. These rascals, Dushasan, and even her Bhishma Pitama, he couldn't help her. Nobody could help her. Such a precarious situation for a lady. But due to that situation, what did she do? She depended completely on Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hey Govinda!
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 So Krishna puts us sometimes in very difficult situations so that we can get to that level of, you know, chanting with feeling and surrender and helplessness.
Very good.
Good question.
It's not a simple question.
No,
it's a
not at all.
Tough question.
I think it depends upon a lot of realization from the devotee. You know, that how Krishna is dealing with me, and how, what should I, by a particular situation, what is Krishna trying to tell me in this? And for a devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he was every moment seeing what Krishna was speaking to him. Every moment. And Krishna was talking to him directly. I remember one time there was an interview, and the reporter said, "How do you choose who's the president of a temple?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Well, I asked Krishna." So the devotee was there who was trying to interpret that. It was saying, I think it was Rameshwar. He was saying that the devotee gets intelligence from Krishna, and with that intelligence that comes from Krishna, he's trying to explain it to the reporter. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, "No, I asked Krishna." So there's certainly different levels of devotees, and they see their situation and different levels in relationship to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.